This week on Discover the Word, be part of a special week of conversations Marty Hahn and Elisa Morgan had with our guest Philip Yancey about how we can be dispensers of God's grace. And the challenge will be, who should we be dispensing God's grace to?
It doesn't take any grace to be around people who are just like you, who look like you, think like you, act like you, smell like you. That doesn't take grace. It's people who are different from you. How do you dispense God's grace to people who offend you morally, who differ from you theologically, who get under your skin? That's what I'd like to talk about.
All right, Philip Yancey at the table this week on Discover the Word. And welcome to another week of exploring the Bible together on Discover the Word. I'm Brian Hettingen. I'm really looking forward to going back to this week when Philip Yancey was at the table with us. Now, Philip, of course, is an author who's really become one of the foremost thinkers and writers and teachers of our generation. The late Billy Graham once said that there was no writer in the evangelical world that he admired and appreciated more. Wow. The list of his books is long and has so many recognizable titles in it. But what we did in this week, several years ago, when he visited with us, was not talk about any one specific book, but a subject that seems to appear in many of them. We talked about dispensing God's grace. When we have received God's grace and really understand what that means, we will dispense it to others as well. It was a challenging week back then, and it's going to be a challenging week again as we revisit this important series of conversations. At the table were regular group members Marty Hahn and Elisa Morgan. And so let's listen as Mart and Elisa actually welcome Philip back to the table.
Philip, if I remember right, it's been a few years. Didn't you come in with Haddon and Alice?
That's correct. Yeah. Yes.
Well, welcome back. Great to have you. Thank you very much.
And
Elisa, you and Philip and Evan, your husband, tell me about the relationship.
We've known each other a long time.
20 years.
About 20.
Yeah,
walked through a lot of life together.
I play golf with Evan, and I help him learn some of the fruits of the Spirit, like patience and kindness, because he puts up with me, but we have a great time.
That's awesome. And Janet and Philip have been fabulous family friends and couple friends. And, you know, you need some like that, those who will hold you up and pray for your marriage as well as for you. None of us are, like, immune from whatever we could fall to. And Philip and Janet sharpen Evan and I hope we do the same back. But they've also been great family friends for our kids as well. As we've been through challenging seasons, they have stood with us firmly. It's been lovely.
Great. Well, listen, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about dispensing God's grace. And I probably need to unpack that phrase a little bit. It actually comes from the Bible, from 1 Peter. Peter says that we should be administrators of God's grace. Other versions translate that stewards of God's grace. But I like the word dispensers. We have received God's grace. So how do we give it to other people? It doesn't take any grace to be around people who are just like you, who look like you, think like you, act like you, smell like you. That doesn't take grace. It's people who are different from you. How do you dispense God's grace to people who offend you morally, who differ from you theologically, who get under your skin? That's what I'd like to talk about these next few days.
I love that phrase, being a dispenser. What comes to mind for me is actually bubblegum machine. Have you seen
like
that in
it.
Kids' room?
Sure.
And you put it in your quarter.
That's where I was going. We got to get this dispenser. We'll figure this thing out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so you push the buttons, and here comes a big, round, gorgeously colored gumball. And that's a grace dispenser. Mm-hmm. How to people around us. And I like where you're leading us, people that we may not be naturally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's not easy either to think through.
It's not.
Okay, drag us through.
It's not easy. And what strikes me is how beautifully Jesus did that. Mm. I was writing a book called The Jesus I Never Knew. And I actually went through and made a list of all the people that Jesus interacted with. And you could almost draw a line right in the middle. The more unrighteous, ungodly, irresponsible people were attracted to Jesus. The more kind of responsible, good citizens, even holy people, were threatened by Jesus all the way through. The same is true of Jesus' stories. He tells stories about making the wrong person the hero. So he talks about the good Samaritan, not the good rabbi. He tells the story about Lazarus, the beggar, and the rich person. Doesn't bother to tell us the rich person's name, just the beggar. Mm. And then, of course, the great story of the prodigal son, the irresponsible son, not the good boy who always did what his parents wanted. And so Jesus somehow, without sinning, being that holy person, was able to attract the wrong kind of people. So they could be around Jesus and realize, I've got something missing. And that's what I wish for myself and for the church in general. I wish that we could convey that kind of grace so that people who are around us aren't threatened, aren't turned off, don't feel judged, but rather say, they've got something I want.
How winsome that is.
Yeah, it's not the conventional wisdom, though, is it?
No,
because the
it's
conventional
surprising.
Wisdom says birds of a feather flock together.
Right. Well, and I think we tend to, despite our best intentions, we tend to want to be around people like ourselves. And we tend to be uncomfortable with people who are, quote, messed up, which means actually they have a struggle different than mine. But Jesus didn't do that, is what
he
you're saying,
didn't.
Philip.
And there's a beautiful story that I want to focus on today. And it's a story of when Jesus was invited over for dinner. I think, if I recall, there are 8 times when people invited Jesus over for dinner. And I have to say, probably half of them regretted it later. he wasn't always the most polite dinner guest because he told it like it was. And in this case, he's at a house with some VIPs, the Pharisees, religious leaders, you know, important people. And in the middle of it, this woman comes in who has quite a reputation. I'll just read a few verses here. This is from Luke 7, around verse 36. In fact, Elisa, why don't you read that? Luke 7, 36.
Happy to. Okay, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner."
Well, that pretty well shows it, isn't it? Because the Pharisee reacts very much like you were describing, Mart. She's not our kind of person. She doesn't belong here. Who invited her? And Jesus, he's a prophet. If he was really a prophet, he wouldn't let that woman touch him. Again and again in the Gospels, I see sinful people who come to Jesus, and they're surrounded by kind of good, righteous, holy people. And most people, when they look at that scene, like this Pharisee, say, there are two kinds of people here. There are good people like us, and then there are bad people like that woman. I'm putting words in Jesus' mouth, but I think what Jesus says is, well, there are two kinds of people here. There are people in need of God's grace who deny it, and there are people in need of God's grace who admit it. And this woman admits it. And God's grace is an absolutely free gift. You can't do anything to earn it. But to receive a gift, you have to have your hands open. If your hands are closed, tight in a fist like these Pharisees, it falls to the ground unreceived. But this woman and many needy people realize their need. Their hands are desperately open to receive God's grace.
But so many of us are afraid to admit that need for a variety of reasons. Afraid that we'll be admitting something and therefore rejecting, or afraid that we'll be like everybody else and we think we need to be better. And we resist both receiving the grace, much less dispensing it to someone else.
You know, and when you think about the guys, the men around the table, they were trained to think the way they were thinking. Right? I mean,
the critical, judgmental.
There were the others who had mentored them. There were those who had trained them, educated them to think the way they were thinking. So I don't think it's like they woke up that day and say, we're going to think this way. It's like it was a part of them. It was a part of their spiritual DNA. Don't you think? I mean, we inherit
and that's what
that
Jesus,
kind of thinking.
And that's what Jesus was so strong against, because it's easy for the church, in this case, the Jewish church, as it were, to become a kind of club. And you can progress in that club. You know, it's like going through the airport where you have different group one boards, group two boards. You know, the Pharisees, they're in group one. You know, they're right at the top. And then you start looking down on other people. You start competing and you forget, no, our job is to give God's grace liberally to everyone, including those in desperate need. And that's why Jesus was such a threat to those kind of people and is a threat to the church, because it's easy to become a private club where we surround ourselves with people who are just like us. And then grace doesn't get dispensed. It gets hoarded.
What would you say, Philip, if somebody says, but the problem is if you start affirming those kinds of people, if you start accepting them, you're basically, your kids are going to see that, others are going to see it. You've lowered the bar to morality.
Think you're a slacker.
Yeah, it's almost like you're giving in to the underbelly of society.
Here's what I see. I see Jesus, who he never lowers the ideals. He never lowers that bar of morality. He always pushes it higher and higher. Okay, you haven't murdered anybody. Have you ever hated? Well, I guess so. You haven't committed adultery. Have you ever lusted? He pushes it so high that nobody can say, okay, I've arrived. I made it. And yet, he gives the safety net of grace so low that nobody can fall beneath it all the way through. And these are the kinds of people who realize that. This woman, the prostitute, she got God's grace. And you see that the sinner praying in the temple, the Pharisee, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like that guy over there. And the sinner says, I'm in desperate need, you know, and I'm sinned. What prayer does God listen to? The one who admits need. So the challenge that I get from Jesus is to take that risk, to dispense God's grace. I remember hearing a phrase from someone who had been spending time in an AIDS clinic, and he went around, or this was early in the case of the disease, and heard these stories of people. And he said, you've actually been thirsting for love, haven't you? Yes, I have. Did you find it? No, I didn't. Actually, I found AIDS. I found death. And then he said, when I went away from that experience, I changed my prayers. I used to pray for those ungodly people. Now I pray for those thirsty people. And that's what I call grace-healed eyes. And it's so hard for us to do because we want to feel superior somehow. We want to feel good. We want to feel like we've arrived. And grace cuts down all those kind of rankings. And it says, heal your eyes so that you look at people as God does, people who are in need. And when people admit their need, that's when grace flows.
There's a compassion I'm hearing in your words, Philip, that instead of judging of you're this, that, or the other morally, instead of going there, I go to, I see your need, and I have compassion for it. And for me, it goes back to when I see my need before Jesus. That gives me access to embracing the need of another and being able to both receive grace so that I can become a grace dispenser.
Because we're all there with
every
that
Every one
need.
Of us. Every one of us.
Philip Yancey at the table with Marty Hahn and Elisa Morgan in conversation number one in a special week of programs we're revisiting from several years ago about being dispensers of God's grace. The focus in this first program was on how we can, following the example of Jesus, dispense God's grace to those who are morally different from us. And I hope we can find a way to shift our perspective and pray for, as Philip's friend said, those thirsty people rather than those ungodly people. That really will make a difference. Well, we're taking the risk to dispense God's grace and see people with grace-healed eyes. That's what we'll be talking about in this series titled Grace Dispensers this week on Discover the Word. And if you'd like to hear today's conversation again, this week's programs, and actually all our conversations, thousands of them, hundreds of different series, are available for you to stream or download at no cost or obligation. The audio and a lot more are available at discovertheword.org. And thanks for remembering that none of this is possible without the faithful partnership of friends like you. Your gifts help bring people into a discussion about the life-changing wisdom of the Bible. You can easily give online at discovertheword.org. And when you give today, as our way of saying thanks, we'll send you a copy of Philip Yancey's classic book, What's So Amazing About Grace. Now, this is a great week of conversations on such a timely perspective, and this book is, in our minds, a must-read. Now, it's sold, at last count I've seen, over 15 million copies, so there's a good chance you've already read it. But it's one of those books that's definitely worth rereading and then passing on to a friend. And then if you've never read it, well, this is your chance. Ask for What's So Amazing About Grace when you give today to Discover the Word. And again, you can do that online at discovertheword.org. All right, well, I'm Brian Hedinga, inviting you back tomorrow when Mart and Elisa and Philip will talk more about dispensing God's grace. How do we offer grace to people who are so openly opposed to our way of thinking, who believe differently than we do? Can we stand for truth and still dispense God's grace? Join the conversation Tuesday here on Discover the Word. Discover the Word is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministry.